Well, good morning again. Are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're here, even if you're not glad to be here. But I think you're here because God's called you here today, and He has something for you today. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin there today, and as we do, so worship team comes down. I just want to say a couple of things to you. I'm beginning a series today on stewardship. And if you're visiting today, we don't talk about this a lot. We don't talk about it often, but at least once a year, we talk about stewardship. We do teaching and preaching on stewardship because it's very important. You know, in the Bible, Jesus talked about finances more than he talked about heaven or hell combined. Of the 39 parables, 11 of them are concerning stewardship, our finances, our money. And so, you know, I've heard over the years many times that people come to church or they come to visit church and said, oh, all they talk about is money, all they talk about is money. Well, that's not all we talk about here. We talk about, as best we can, the whole Word of God. But that part is included in it. And the reason, I want you to know I'm very passionate about this series on stewardship. I'm very passionate about it personally, but I'm very passionate about it spiritually and for the church. Because I know the principles that Jesus teaches on stewardship will help you. Amen. They'll help all of us. They'll help us in our everyday life. And so I know some of you have got it down and you believe you're really doing good in that area, and that's great. But you know, it's always good to be reminded of what God's Word says. And so today we're going to talk about the heart, because that's really where it starts. That's where everything starts. And so in Matthew, as soon as I get there, chapter 7, we're going to look at a couple of things there. Beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. And it says, judge not that you be not judged. In other words, judge not so you won't be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, the subject of those two verses can be summed up in one word. What is it? Okay, let's go back again. Let's read it. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back. What's the subject? Judging. Okay, everybody agree on that? Okay. Now, I want us to look at another scripture, but first I want you to kind of memorize a little bit quickly the first sentence and the last phrase. And this is what I want you to memorize. Judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay, you got that? For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Got that? All right, turn forward a couple of books to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Everybody awake today?
Yes.
Everybody good? Okay, good. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. I'm going to read 37 and the last part of 38. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And the last part, the last sentence in verse 38. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, what's the subject of this? Same thing, right? Judging. Most I don't know of any theologians or Bible scholars that would disagree that this is a parallel passage to Matthew. This one in Luke is a parallel passage. And so there's something here that we see in Luke that we don't see in Matthew. Now you have to understand, Matthew was a fisherman. He fished for a living. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. So he was a little more detailed in his writings. And we're going to see that. But it's the same subject. And if you look in verse 38 there, it says, beginning in verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. And then he goes on to say, for the same measure you give, it will be measured back. So this is a really good passage. This is a really good passage because it says, whatever measure you give out, whatever it is, you'll get back. Okay? And it seems to say probably even more, pressed down, running over, shaken together. So Jesus says, whatever you give, you're going to get back in God's economy. That's the way God's economy works. So if you, for instance, sow an apple seed, you plant an apple seed, you don't get back just one seed. You get back a tree, an apple tree that has many apples with many seeds in it. Amen? Am I right? Okay? So that's what he's, the same principle here. With God, you always get back more than you give. So Luke 6:38, it's a great verse, but it can also be not so great a verse. Because I want us to back up to verse 37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Okay, and then I want us to look closely at verse 38. Give, and what he's saying here, and if you're a teacher, you'll recognize this because it's, he's using kind of a subjective, there's a subjective pronoun here. Give, in the beginning, who's this written to? Who's the Bible written to? The church. Okay. Who's the church?
Us.
Okay. So it's written to you, right? To me. So the subjective pronoun there is you give and it. I want you to underline it. If you've got the NIV, I think it reads almost the same. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in to your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it, underline it again there at the end, will be measured back to you. Okay, what's it? That's it. Whatever you give. It can be a lot of things. It can be judgment, right? It can be condemnation. It can be forgiveness. True? So it can be most anything. We agree? So it could be money, right? Resources, materials, right? Good point. That's what I want you to see. It could be condemnation, forgiveness. The main subject here is judging, but that it can also refer to many other things, including resources. The thing that's kind of not good about this is over the years I've seen many people use verse 38 as a motive for giving instead of the reward for giving. You know, give and you'll get. I don't know how many of you watch Christian TV. At least that's what it's still called today. But you'll think about that when you get home. You'll get it. But you hear all the time, not only give to get, but give and you will get. And that's not what this is saying. See, it's not about the motive. It's about the reward. God wants us. See, I think what happens is we don't understand who implemented giving. Who implemented giving? God. God. The one creator of the universe who doesn't need it. Am I right? See, he implemented giving for us because we need it. We need to do it. The one who doesn't need anything. It's not for him, it's for us. And see, when we get to the place in the body of Christ that we just give to give, that we give to build God's kingdom and not to get, see, that's a work in our heart that God wants to do. Now, let me surprise you about something. God doesn't bless giving. God doesn't bless giving. God blesses giving with the right heart. Amen. You see, if you give because you're selfish or greedy, then you're not giving with the right heart. If you give just to impress or to get back, that's not God. But when you're giving just to give, because you want to help build God's kingdom here on earth, that's what God blesses. Amen. See, it's all about the heart. Amen. It's all about the heart. Turn back to the beginning of your Bible, to Deuteronomy, and you can flip all the way back there because we're going to finish today right there. Deuteronomy, it's about the fifth book in Deuteronomy, chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We there? Okay, good. You guys are getting quick. That's good. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. I believe there's four things that helps put our heart in the right place for God in context to giving and to stewardship. And we're going to talk about a lot of other aspects of stewardship in the couple of weeks ahead. But there's four things that will enable us to live a blessed life, I believe. First of all, there's two things we have to deal with the heart. The first thing we have to deal with is a selfish heart. We have to deal with a selfish heart. Now, most of us would consider ourselves not selfish until we get our hand close to our wallet or our checkbook. Deal with a selfish heart. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you." Now here's what he's talking about, that seventh year. The time that Deuteronomy is referring to here, there was a system in place in which all debts were canceled every 7 years. Every 7 years, any debts were outstanding were canceled. You see, God understands how we think. And that's why that verse is in there. He was saying, if someone comes with a need, don't even let the thought of, oh, wow, let me see how close it is to the seventh year. If it's the next year or so, man, they're going to have to pay me back pretty quick or I'm not going to get it back. You see, that's what he's saying there. And not only that, God calls that a wicked thought. I didn't say that. He did. Just read it to you. He calls it a wicked thought. He calls selfishness wicked. And you know, we're all born selfish. We're born selfish. You know, you don't have to teach your kids when they're coming up as babies and toddlers, when they start playing with toys or stuff, you don't have to teach them the word mine, do you? It just comes out. If another playmate takes it, mine, mine, they'll grab it. It's mine. And you know, you'd think we would grow out of that. But often we don't. Even as adults, we don't grow out of that. So we have to deal with a selfish heart. Selfishness, see, tries to make deals with God. And let me tell you, he's not buying. Okay? Obviously, greed and selfishness are not proper motives for giving. We don't give to get just because God says, hey, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's not why we give. See, that's selfish if we give to make that deal. God wants to change our hearts. He wants to change our hearts from greedy, selfish takers to generous givers to His kingdom, to His causes. And so I say this, ask God to direct you in your giving and wait for the answer. And when He speaks to you, and He will, if you ask Him, don't call Him Satan and say, get behind me. Just do what He says to do. And remember, your giving reflects your love for God. That's in here. The second way we have to deal with our heart is we have to deal with a grieving heart. A grieving heart. Now, most everybody, when they lose a loved one, their heart grieves. But you know, I've seen at times people grieve more out of over losing material things or money than they grieve over losing a loved one. Look at verse 10. You must surely give to Him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to Him. Because this thing the Lord your God, for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. Man, that's a good promise, isn't it? That's a good promise. God blesses us if we'll do this. Selfishness attacks us, you see, before we give, which He addressed in verse 9. But grief attacks us after we give. In verse 10, here's what He's referring to. Let me ask you, have you ever given a significant amount or significant offering to the church and the next day something breaks down? You know, then the devil whispers to you, I bet you wish you hadn't given that money. I told you not to give that much. You see, do you understand why the enemy doesn't want you to give into the kingdom? Because when you do, you're robbing the enemy. You're taking back things that he's been stealing from God. You're helping take back what he's robbed from the kingdom, souls. When you sow into the kingdom of God, when you give to the kingdom of God, you're helping bring souls into the kingdom of God. And that's why I believe Jesus spoke so much about finances and the seriousness of it. Let me ask you a question. You just answer this to yourself. Think about when you give. Do you give because you feel like you have to or because you want to? You just absorb that for a little bit. Do you give because you feel like you have to or you want to? See, the reason we grieve over money that we give or contribute is because we don't have a proper perspective of money. We think it's ours. And the truth is, all of it comes from God. All of it comes from God. So when God asks for us, we should give it immediately to Him. Because in reality, we're not giving. We're just returning a portion of what is His. Because it all belongs to Him. Amen. If I walked over here and I gave Alan a $50 bill and said, Alan, would you put that in the offering today? He wouldn't have any problem doing that, would he? Why? Because it's not his. It's not his. But if I didn't give him a $50 bill and I said, Alan, put $500 in the offering today, there might be some reluctance. You see, that's what we got to approach God. It's all His. It's easy to give somebody else's, right? So when we give to God, we're just giving it back to Him. It's His already. So we need to deal with a selfish heart. We need to deal with a grieving heart. And then there's two things we need to develop about the heart. The first thing is we need to develop a generous heart. A generous heart. To look at verse 12 here in this passage. If your brother, a Hebrew man, or a Hebrew woman is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him with liberally. The word liberally there means generous. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You see, we're all born selfish. We're born takers. But we need to be born again generous. And I think we need to get to the place of giving generously, more than just the minimum. That's what he's talking about there. More than just the minimum. Over and above, he says, gee whiz, you gave them the freedom. But God said, don't send them away empty-handed. Bless them with some of what you've been blessed with. See, it's about getting to the place where we get excited about giving to a need. You know, it's about the heart and the attitude of the heart. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And many people get this twisted backwards, even pastors. They say, well, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Because what he's saying in Matthew, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart is, because your heart follows this. This doesn't follow your heart. Your heart follows this. For example, if you invest in a stock or you invest in a business or whatever, you're going to follow that stock. You might even pray for that stock. I'm not abdicating that. I'm just saying you might. But when you invest in something, you follow it, right? You look and check on it. You see, our heart follows the money. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so here's a fact. If you want your heart in the kingdom, put your treasure there. The more treasure you put into something, the more your heart is going to be there. It's a biblical principle, a generous heart toward the things of God. And then the second thing we need to develop in the heart is we need to develop a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Look at verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Why did God instruct the Israelites to remember they'd been slaves? See, he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember. He wanted their hearts filled with gratitude. He wanted them to remember what he had done for them. And he wanted their hearts filled with gratitude and appreciation for what he had done for them. Gratitude is what produces generosity. If we're grateful, if we have a grateful heart, we're going to have a generous heart. When you allow the Lord to remind you of where he brought you from and what he's rescued you out of, you'll be grateful. Note that he says he commands you to be generous. God says, if you want to know why I want you to be generous, just remember this. You were once in slavery, and you didn't even have your freedom, and I redeemed you. It's interesting today when we think what we think of as slavery. Some think of it as historically, the early history of our country, or something that goes on in these third world countries, the foreign countries. But I submit to you today that slavery is what the scripture calls digging broken cisterns and worshiping false gods. Amen. That's slavery. See, our incentive for giving generously is just that. We remember where God has brought us from and what he's rescued us out of. We don't give to get. Mm-mm. It's that we realize that we can never repay God for what he's done for us. Amen. And he doesn't ask us to pay him back. But he does tell us to be generous. And he tells all of his people to be generous. You know, I can testify to that. I know what he brought me out of. I know the bondage and the slavery that we were in. And what he brought me out of. And what he's done in my life. And I know I could never repay it. No matter how much I give. And that's why we give generously. Because we have gratitude for what he's done. And where he's brought us from. You see, when we come to the place, where we just simply give because we have an unselfish heart and a gratefulness toward God, then we're on our way to living the blessed life. See, develop a generous heart and a grateful heart. Deal with a selfish heart and a grieving heart. And develop a generous and grateful heart. That's God's desire for us. God really does want us to have a blessed life. And that's not just money. He wants us blessed with peace and hope and spiritual things. Freedom. Freedom from the things that hinder our lives. He wants us to live a blessed life so that we can not only be blessed, but that we can be a blessing. He wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. And listen, we all can. We can all be a blessing in some way. Let's pray together. Here's what we need to remember as we pray. God owns it all. Anything we have is because of Him. Well, maybe we earned it. Maybe we worked for it. Maybe we made deals. But you know what? God gave us the wisdom. He gave us the ability. And sometimes even the resources to do that. But the bottom line is it's about the heart. And I want to ask you this morning, because does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? As you sit here today, is your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? You see, that's where the blessed life truly begins. The things we've talked about today is how we live it out. But we have to start with Jesus as Savior and Lord. Have you started there yet? Are you here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ? Then I would encourage you today to do that. I would encourage you right now to do that. Passionately encourage you, because life really begins with Jesus. Do you know Jesus this morning? If you don't, put your faith in Him. Speak to Him this morning. Give your heart to Him this morning. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Ask Him to take over your life and your heart. Put your trust in Him today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ today. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and He's the last. He's the first person. He's the first thing that your faith needs to be in. So that He's the last person that you dwell with in everlasting life. Just pray a prayer. Not in your head, but in your heart. Prayer, a prayer of faith. God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. And I believe you raised Him from the dead to give me life. And so I put my faith in Him today. I put my faith in Him today. As Savior and Lord, I receive His forgiveness. And along with that, I receive His love, His unconditional love. Take all my junk, take all my stuff. I lay it down before you today, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would do a work in all of us. Father, I believe there's always more of our heart, even as Christians, there's always a little more of our heart that we can give you each day. Because of our humanness and living in the flesh and these bodies that dwell on earth, we tend to take a little back each day sometimes. So God, help us to keep giving just a little more of our heart to you each day in faith. And I pray, Father, that these words that you've given us today, this truth that you've given us, these principles that you've given us, that God, we would embrace by faith and trust. We'll allow you to demonstrate that you are true and faithful, that you are our protection, our provision. And so, God, even if for the most penniless, we can still give something, we can give our heart to you. So, God, we offer that to you first and foremost today. We ask you, Father, as we worship you with tithes and offerings, as we trust you with our tithes and offerings, God, we trust you with the blessings that come, not because we give, but because we are faithful and true. And your word is faithful and true. And so, Father, we don't give to get. God, help us to come today to give, to help build your kingdom, to help lift up your name, and to bring souls into your kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive your tithes and offerings.